thank you very much. As Kathy just indicated, I'm going to be talking about HIV-infected adolescents and differences in substance use by perinatally versus behaviorally and modes of infection. And I have no relationships to disclose. So we know that HIV infection among adolescents in the U.S. is a public health issue. Adolescents make up over 25% of those living with HIV. And in 2010, there were 10,000 new cases of HIV among those under the age of 24. There are differences by mode of transmission, where about 3/4 of those who are HIV infected are infected through behavioral means, such as sex with an infected partner or injection drug use, whereas about 1/4 are infected perinatally, which is mother-to-child transmission, and other exposures such as occupational hazards. We know that HIV-infected youth commonly use alcohol and drugs. The recent study indicated that over 50% of HIV-infected adolescents are using alcohol, and approximately 50% are using marijuana regularly. And adolescents living with HIV have higher rates of substance use compared to uninfected adolescents. Substance use or alcohol abuse is often linked to poor HIV self-care, specifically medication adherence among those adolescents who are infected with HIV. And HIV-positive adolescents who report ever drinking alcohol are less likely to adhere to their medication regimen, as are adolescents who report ever using drugs. And a recent study indicated that among those who have reported ever using drugs, 60% of those are not adherent to their medication regimen, compared to 40% who are not reporting drug use. So given what we know about the risks associated with substance use among HIV-infected adolescents, as, for example, what I just mentioned, medication adherence, but also what we know about sexual risk and the increase of unprotected sex, which can also increase the transmission of HIV, we sought to understand what substances HIV-infected youth were using. And given that we know the differences, that there are major differences by mode of transmission, we wanted to investigate whether the substance use behaviors differed by mode of transmission, whether adolescents were infected behaviorally or perinatally from mother to child. And then we also sought to examine if the effects on substance use medication adherence were different by mode of HIV acquisition. So this is part of a larger study. It was a two-phase pilot study called Positive Steps. That's some of our recruitment material. The two-phase study, the purpose was to develop or to adapt an HIV medication adherence intervention that has been shown to be efficacious for adults, to adapt it for adolescents aged 13 to 24. And the first phase was to do qualitative interviews, formative work with adolescents to adapt the intervention, and we recruited 30 participants. We did quantitative surveys with them and then the qualitative work to inform the intervention. And then the second phase, we recruited 18 participants. We also administered the survey, the quantitative survey, and we did a small randomized control trial. So we recruited 48 participants for the two-phase study. 8 of the participants were overlapped, so they participated in phase 1 and also phase 2, which brought us to 40. And then for this current analysis, people who didn't answer questions about how they were infected with HIV or anything related to alcohol were excluded. So for this analysis, we had 34 adolescents and emerging adults. And they were all recruited during outpatient clinic HIV clinic visits at a hospital, which is Boston Children's Hospital, and Fenway Health Community Center in Boston. Fenway Health treats people who are 18 and over, but they also have Sydney Boreham Health Center, which treats high-risk youth aged 12 to 29, so we recruited from there, and then also the hospital. The hospital works with youth under 25. And in order to be in either study, the youth had to be HIV positive, between the ages of 13 and 24 and either prescribed or recommended antiretroviral therapy in, within the past 6 months. So they had to be infected for at least 6 months as well. So as I mentioned, they were administered a quantitative, I'm sorry, that's a quantitative survey, which inquired about a number of things, including demographics, the route of infection, how they were infected, their substance use behaviors, and questions on how they felt that their substance use interfered with their ability to take their medications. The way that we assessed HIV acquisition was the following question. What is the most likely way that you got HIV? And so we presented them with a list of questions, and we categorized them into behavioral, perinatal, behavioral, or other. And so this is exactly how they were presented: perinatal, mother-to-child transmission, sex with a man who is HIV positive, sex with a woman who is HIV positive, sharing needles with a person who is HIV positive, or other, such as a needle stick at work. And then the way that we assessed substance use was we asked participants, which of the following drugs have you been high or buzzed on in the last 6 months? Please include drugs that were prescribed to you if you used them to get high. And participants were asked for each drug, please check off how often you used them to get buzzed or high. And so that was once a month up until several times a day. And so we asked on the bottom, this is exactly how we asked them. So we asked them for alcohol, please indicate in the past 6 months how often you've used this. And then so that's alcohol in general, and then we asked how often you had five or more drinks on any one occasion, which is defined as binge drinking, and actually binge drinking is even lower for younger adolescents. We asked about marijuana, and again, we used multiple words so that they would know what we were talking about. And then for other drugs, we included a whole host of drugs, both ones that adolescents are more likely to be using, such as inhalants, and other drugs of abuse. For this analysis, we examined the past 6 months' prevalence of alcohol use, binge drinking, marijuana use, and use of other drugs, both on an ever use in the last 6 months and also at least weekly use in the past 6 months. And with a small sample, we used chi-square and Fisher's exact tests where appropriate to determine the differences in substance use by mode of infection, and then differences in the effects of substance use on medication adherence by mode of infection. Just to give you a little bit of demographic characteristics of the sample, the mean age was 21, the range was 14 to 24. You can see that those who were infected perinatally were a little bit younger on average than those who were infected behaviorally. For this sample, we had 34, and it was a 50-50 split between those who were perinatally infected versus those who were behaviorally infected. And all of those in this sample who were behaviorally infected reported that they were infected through sex with an HIV-positive partner. So, and this is not representative of the U.S., but this is partially in how we recruited, so we got a nice split down the middle sample. We had the majority of our participants were male, about a third were female, and then we offered the options of male, female, transgender, male to female, transgender, female to male, and other, and in this sample, 6% said other, they did not identify as transgender. So. About 50% of the sample identified as Black or African American, about a quarter as white, and then those identifying as other were multiracial or American Indian or Native American, or Native Alaskan. And two-thirds of the sample identified as being non-Latino. The majority of the participants identified as being heterosexual or straight, about 30% as homosexual or gay, about 18% as bisexual, and about 9% as other. Other people wrote in that they were a certain number on the Kinsey scale, or they were queer. So people didn't necessarily identify with just the categories that we provided. The majority of those who were perinatally infected identified as being straight or heterosexual, and the majority of those who were behaviorally infected identified as being homosexual or gay. So with respect to the past 6 months substance use, I just want to give you a sort of an overview of what the substance use in the sample was, and then I'll talk about what if the breakdown was by mode of infection. So the sample had a very high prevalence of alcohol use. 85% of the sample is using alcohol in the past 6 months. And again, it's not all adolescents. We do have those who are between the ages of 21 and 24. So it may be a little bit skewed in that direction. But 35% are using alcohol on a weekly basis. Now, when we get to binge drinking, 50% of the sample self-reported that they had a binge drinking occasion at least once in the past 6 months. And 38% are doing this weekly, which is alarming. This is a very, very high number of people who are drinking 5 drinks at one time on any given occasion. And then we have marijuana use. Very high percentage of the adolescents in the sample are using marijuana, and 43% are using it weekly. And other drug use, 43% have used drugs. Other drugs, which is one of that long list that I provided. And about a quarter are using drugs at least once a week. So then, how does it look when we break it down by mode of infection? What do people think? Do you think it's going to be skewed in one way or another? Those who are perinatally infected versus those who are behaviorally infected? What do people think? Guess what? It matters. So who do you think has more substance use? Behaviorally, okay. So this probably isn't a big surprise to people. And this is our hypothesis, but as we know, as researchers, it's important to test our hypotheses. So interestingly, there were no differences by those who are using alcohol by mode of transmission. So a lot of people in both the behavioral and perinatally infected groups were using alcohol, but there were significant differences by weekly alcohol use. So 53% of those who are behaviorally infected are using alcohol at least weekly versus 18% of those who are perinatally infected. Then when it comes to binge drinking, there's also another, it's disproportionate, whereas 70% of those who are behaviorally infected are binge drinking at least once in the past 6 months, compared to 30% of those who are perinatally infected. And again, 60% are doing it weekly compared to 17.6% of those who are perinatally infected. So we're seeing big disparities by mode of transmission in this small sample. Marijuana use, 100%, every one of those adolescents who are perinatally infected, who are behaviorally infected, have used marijuana in the past 6 months. And 65% of those who are perinatally infected. So marijuana use is highly prevalent among both groups. And then about 60% of those behaviorally infected are using it weekly, compared to 30% of those who are perinatally infected. So it's still high for both groups, but we see that it is disproportionate for those who are behaviorally infected. And then, using drugs other than marijuana, we see that those who are behaviorally infected are using it much more, the prevalence is much higher than those who are perinatally infected. And then interestingly, the number-wise, those who are behaviorally infected are using drugs at least weekly, 30% compared to 17.6%. This is not significant, but this may be due to the smaller numbers. So that's the differences in substance use by mode of infection. And then we wanted to ask questions about the effect of substance use on medication adherence. And we asked two questions specifically about that. So we asked, in the past 6 months, has using alcohol ever gotten in the way of taking HIV medications the way that you were supposed to? And we also asked, in parallel, has using drugs ever gotten in the way? 27.6% of the whole sample said that using alcohol got in the way of taking their medication the way they were supposed to, compared to 17.6% of the whole sample said that using drugs got in the way. And then when we break it down by mode of infection, on the left, we see that, so it was 27.6% for alcohol, and that breaks out by 43% of those behaviorally infected say that alcohol is getting in the way of them taking their medication, compared to 13% of those who are perinatally infected. And then, interestingly, drug use getting in the way of taking HIV medication is exactly the same three people in each group reported that drugs were getting in the way. So substance use in this sample was quite high. This is an urban sample in CARE. They all are coming from Boston or around the greater Boston area. There were significant differences in substance use by mode of infection. I'm very proud that most of you guessed that it was those who are behaviorally infected are more likely to be or have higher prevalence of substance use. And alcohol use, the weekly and weekly alcohol use and binge drinking was higher among those who are behaviorally infected, and that appears to be a significant barrier to treatment adherence compared to the perinatally infected youth. But even though the use of drugs was disproportionately higher sort of across the board for behaviorally infected youth, there were no significant differences by how drug use affected medication adherence among this group. And so implications of this work, it's possible that the behavioral risk associated with acquiring HIV is also associated with other risk behaviors, including substance use. We really need further longitudinal research. This is a small sample, 34 people. It's a snapshot, it's cross-sectional. So we need to know the associations with a larger group over time. But in the interim, interventions that target self-care among HIV-infected youth really may want to consider route of infection in parallel with other risk behaviors when determining intervention needs. And so just for a second to tell you about where we're moving with this, we currently have an R01 under review to test the efficacy of the intervention, which is, we call it positive steps. It's positive steps to enhance problem-solving skills. We submitted that to NICHD. And positive steps is a tailored intervention to increase medication adherence among HIV-infected youth. And it's tailored. So if youth are coming in with substance use problems, or specifically their substance use is getting in the way of their adherence, we have modules specific to substance use as a barrier to medication adherence. And then we'll be able to provide, I mean, because it's a clinic-based and a clinician-based intervention, and we'll be able to provide appropriate referrals and problem-solving skills specifically to substance use. And we also are doing individually tailored text messages where the participants will work with the clinician to actually develop the messages that they'll be getting. So if their issues are around substance use affecting their medication adherence, we can actually tailor the text messages accordingly, and video vignettes that will also be available around substance use. So hopefully this will get funded, and we'll be able to test whether this intervention works, and hopefully be able to address substance use, comorbid substance use as well. And I'd like to acknowledge our sources of support, our study contributors, Dr. Idia Thurston and Dr. Errol Fields, our research staff, and community partners at the hospital. Thank you.